You're aware each and every day that there is a battle going on inside of you between flesh and spirit. So Peter is telling us we're in this battle, and while we can't lose our salvation, we can be defeated if we don't appropriate the victory that God has given us over the flesh.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we're starting a new message entitled, Your Separation and Your Submission. This is chapter 4 in the series called, Comfort for the Suffering. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
One of the striking and sometimes difficult things about the teachings of the Bible is how they instruct us to go against the grain of the way we would normally respond to adversity. For instance, who would ever just naturally bless those that curse them or do good to those who hate them? And in today's lesson from 1 Peter, we're going to hear Peter instructing us to submit to even difficult, unreasonable bosses for our testimony's sake. It's not easy stuff to hear today, but in the end, it always turns for our blessing when we obey the Lord. So grab your Bible and follow along with me as I share the message, Your Separation and Your Submission, from our 1 Peter series entitled, Comfort for the Suffering. Now, last time we ended with Peter's powerful words regarding four things that had to do with us: God's sublime purpose, His sovereign priesthood, that's you, His secret principality, that's the church, and His secured people, that's you, all having to do with us, His church. Now, we're continuing through chapter 2, and what Peter has to say about our separation from this world. We are in it, but we are not of it. Verse 11, chapter 2. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now, I want you to notice first what our attitude is to be towards this world. He said, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims. We are strangers and we are pilgrims, just passing through. This world is not our home. Amen? How many of you, as time goes by, you just have this feeling on the inside? You know, the older I get, the more I go on with God, the more I'm so aware, this is not my home. I'm looking for a place whose builder and maker is God. Amen? So, strangers and pilgrims, Peter calls us, just passing through. The world, as found in the Bible, is simply human life and society, but with God left out. The world is human life and society with God left out. That's what the world is. And the Bible says it's the devil's lair for sinners and his lure for saints. That's why John came along and said, don't love the world or the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, are not from the Father, but they are from the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2. Now, the world he's talking about is not God's beautiful creation. It's not the beautiful trees and the sky and the planets and all the creatures and the wonderful creation that God made. That's not what he means by the world. He means the system, the demonic, satanic system, the world system that is absolutely set against God. It's in rebellion against God. This world does not embrace God or love the Word or love His Son. This world is in direct rebellion, and it's a renegade world. And so that's the world we're not to love. And that's the world we're not a part of anymore. And that's the world the Holy Ghost every day is more and more removing us from, that world. We are strangers here. A pilgrim is a man going home. He has his eye on another place. His affections are elsewhere. This is part and parcel of our separation, the way we view the world. So I don't know how you view the world tonight, but I want to encourage you, look at this world as we're in it, but we're not of it. We don't think like it. We don't act like it. We don't live like it. We don't embrace its ideals. We don't embrace its values. We have another kingdom, another king, another world, another life, and another set of values and another set of beliefs. Amen? And the two are completely counter to each other. Now, not only are we to have a new attitude toward the world around us, but also toward the war within us. Notice what Peter says. He says, you're a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. In light of that, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Now, the word abstain means to hold oneself from these lusts. The word fleshly refers to the cravings and the strong desires of the sensual side of our nature. Now, let me talk to you about your old nature for a minute, because a lot of people don't understand this, all right? The Bible teaches that the old nature in the believer coexists with the new nature. If you want to read about that, read Romans 7. What I want to do, I do not do. What I don't want to do, that very thing I do. Oh, wretched man, who will deliver me from this death? That's Romans 7. Romans 8, Paul says, if we by the power of the Holy Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, he's talking about that old nature, we will live. If we by the power of the Spirit put to death the sinful deeds of the body, we will live. So there is a war going on inside of us between that old nature, the flesh, and the new nature, the new man that was created when we were born again. We were born not of the will of man, but of the will of God by the eternal, incorruptible seed of God's word. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, all is become new. That's true. So you have within you a brand new creation, a new man, a new inner man. And I'll tell you, one of the signs of being born again is your want-to-do changes. Your motivations change. I didn't used to care about what God thought about anything. But now that I'm born again, I want to please Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to know Him. And what grieves Him, I want to avoid. And what blesses Him, I want to immerse myself in. I want to embrace what He embraces, and I want to shun what He shuns. Now I'm in relationship with God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I have a new nature inside of me. But there is also that old nature, that old flesh, that the Bible says is at war within us with the new nature. Now the word war, when he says we're at war, that old nature is at war within us with the new nature, the word war is stratuami, stratuami. And it's the word for an encamped army. It is akin to the Greek word for soldier. So notice this now. The picture that Peter is painting is that of the flesh carrying on a sustained military campaign against the believer's soul. Today, you are aware of it. You are aware of it on the highway coming here tonight. You're aware each and every day that there is a battle going on inside of you between flesh and spirit. You're aware of it every day. If you're not aware of it every day, I want to meet you when church is over, because you're dead. See, the only way you're not aware of that battle is you're dead. It's a battle we go through every day. You know, the devil sometimes doesn't have to do a whole lot because the flesh does his dirty work for him. So Peter is telling us we're in this battle, and while we can't lose our salvation, we can be defeated if we don't appropriate the victory that God has given us over the flesh. Amen. All right? So Peter says, what do you do about it? You abstain. While Paul uses the word flee. He says in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. You know that word flee is powerful because it also says if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. So we're to flee youthful lusts. And if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. That rhymes, doesn't it? If we flee youthful lust, the devil will flee from us. All right? The word flee there means to run as if in terror. So how are we to view fleshly lusts? We are to run as if in terror. In other words, you don't stand there and debate with lust, argue with lust, negotiate with lust. You run from lust. Come on, everybody. Run from it. The bottom line is, here's what Peter's really telling us. There are some books we ought not read. There's some things we ought not watch. There's some people we ought not run with. Amen. Amen? Hold yourself from them. That's the meaning of the word abstain once more. Hold yourself from them. Now, next, Peter talks about our witness. And he says in verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, that's all about our witness. Conduct. He's conduct yourself honorably among the Gentiles. Conduct is about your lifestyle. He said, let it be honorable. Somebody is always watching. Amen? Now, I want to encourage you to do something. Live your life as if, for sure, somebody is watching. I'm not trying to make you paranoid. I don't want you to be weird. But I want you to know that somebody is always watching. You know, people who know you're saved, they're watching. Now, you may not know they're watching there at the office, or that your neighbors, your friends, your former friends, the people you used to party hardy with, you may not think they're watching, but they're watching. As soon as they know you're saved, they want to know if what you say you got is real. They want to know if it's real. They want to know if your professed change is solid, if it's really real. They want to know that. And so a long time ago, I've learned somebody is always watching. Kathy and I, years ago, we had the kids. We were at Disney World. And man, I was all decked out in Disney kind of clothes. In other words, I looked like a real tourist, okay? I had all the tourist stuff on. You know, weird. I look at pictures of the shorts I had on, and I just, you will never see that picture. It's like, how in the world did I ever put those things on? But I did. And so we're just walking around through Disney World, you know, minding our own. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Pastor Jeff. And I said to Kathy, it can't be. There's got to be another Pastor Jeff around here. And here they come right up behind us. And it was people from our church. And hey, good to see y'all here. Hey, I was so glad I flipped that cigar 5 minutes earlier. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm making sure you're there. But what I'm saying is, you got to live like not only is God watching, but we have a testimony. Amen. Say, well, that's you. People know you more than they know me. Now, trust me, you have a testimony, you have a witness. And so he says, conduct your lifestyle honorably among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, and they will, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, that word visitation is from the Greek word episkope. Now, episkope is the word we translate into bishop. Episkope, bishop. We get Episcopalian church from episkope. But the idea is to scope out or to see everything. Amen. So it's talking about a visitation from God. Look what he says. That these who have watched your honorable lifestyle will glorify God in the day of visitation. What does that mean in the day of episkope? What does that mean? That means that sometimes God pays a special visit to the earth. Okay? Follow me now. Now, he's watching everything all the time. He's watching us right now. He is omnipresent everywhere at once, omnipotent, all-powerful, and omniscient, all-knowing. He knows everything before it even begins or ends. But watch this now. There are times he visits. He visited the generation of Noah and pronounced it under judgment. He visited Sodom and Gomorrah and pronounced it under judgment. Remember those three angels showed up at Abraham's door, at his tent door? He was visiting. He visited earth in the person of Jesus Christ. There are times when God visits a nation or visits a people or even visits a person. Yes. Now, what he's saying here is, if you live your life right, there are going to be some people who are going to look at your life and they're going to go, wow, it really was real. So they're going to embrace your Jesus so that when God visits, they're not cringing in fear. They're glorifying God in the day of visitation. Because your life helped them come to Jesus. Amen? Isn't that a powerful thought? So who's watching you? I'm not saying you got to be perfect, but I am saying be sincere. Be real. Be authentic. All right? Be a real believer. Like I said, son, if you mess up, fess up. Walk with God. Because who knows? There's somebody in your orbit who's going to go, wow, it really was real. And they come to Jesus. And then there is a day when God visits, either to favor them or to bring judgment. And they glorify God in the day of visitation because they're right with him through Jesus because of your testimony. Amen. Now next, Peter shifts gears from our separation to our submission. Now this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm expecting all of you to be jumping up and shouting me down in just a moment because I know this is your favorite word, submit. Can everybody say submit?
Submit.
Now tell me you like that word. Oh, you liar. You don't like that word. No, I'm kidding. We don't like that word. As soon as we read it, we don't like it. It's like repent. I don't like the word repent, but submit. He's going to talk about now our submission in a lot of verses. Starting in verse 13, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Now, when he says governors, to us that would be police, be law enforcement. Whether to the king as supreme, I'm going to change it, or to law enforcement, as to those who are sent by who? By him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good.
Amen.
That's what law enforcement is for. Is law enforcement perfect? No. Do they make mistakes? Yes. But are they commissioned by God to maintain law and order? Yes. Do they have authority from heaven? Yes, they do. All earthly authority is imperfect, but that doesn't mean it's not real. How many dads are in here? Raise your hand, dads. All right, you're the head of your home. You are the head of your home. You have the authority of God to be the head of your home. Now let me ask you this, are you perfect? Every perfect dad in here, raise your hand. Oh, Lord, strike him, Jesus. Oh, he's down already. No. All right. In our imperfection, does God still leave his authority upon us? Come on, everybody. No earthly authority is perfect. But God doesn't remove his authority because they're imperfect, because all human beings are imperfect. Now, 1 Peter says we're to submit to human law. He says, every ordinance of man, that's talking about the laws of men. And why do we do it? For the Lord's sake. Yeah. Now, this verse wouldn't preach well in our culture right now. We're filled, our nation, and if you don't know this, I want to know what cave you're living in. Because right now, our nation is filled with marches and protests and demonstrations and mass campaigns of civil disobedience. Our country is filled with lawlessness and rebellion against God's order. Against God's order. There is in our nation right now a slice of the American pie that hates law enforcement, hates authority, hates Washington. I don't have a love for Washington, but there is an authority God has invested in our government. Is it perfect? Far from it. But the authority is still there. See, there is a hatred. There is a rebellion. There is a lawlessness moving through our country that is very concerning right now. And so Peter says, I want you as Christians, submit to human laws. Now the word submit is a Greek military term regarding the rank and file of an organized group of soldiers. That's how that word is used. And they may not like their orders or even agree with them, but they submit and with a good attitude. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if they don't submit, they are AWOL. Okay? So the word submit that he uses here in this verse is a military term. It has to do with receiving orders you don't necessarily like. And I can think of a lot of things the Lord has told me to do that my flesh doesn't like. Amen. I don't always feel like forgiving people that wrong me. I don't want to forgive them in my flesh. I want to go take vengeance. Or I want to see them get theirs. Come on, don't look at me so holy. You do the same thing. And if somebody wrongs you and 3 months down the road you hear that something bad happened to them, you do not go, oh, I'm so sorry, Lord Jesus. I just pray for them. No, and something inside of you goes, yes, they had it coming. God just undertook for me. Come on, tell the truth. There are certain orders that we have been given as Christians I don't like. I don't like. But you know what? I say, yes, sir. And I find that when I do them, I have great peace. Amen. But my flesh doesn't like them. Now, we don't have a king, but we do have a president. And he, along with all civil authority beneath him, are to be obeyed. The only time they're not to be obeyed is if they require you to do something directly against your faith. And that is where Peter and the apostles said to the civil authorities of their day, we must obey God rather than man, because they had been ordered to not preach in the name of Jesus Christ, and they could not stop preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. They were under a higher order. They were under a higher law. We have been ordered by God to preach Jesus Christ, so we must obey God rather than men. But unless it's something like that, we're to obey. As mentioned earlier in this series, the Emperor Nero was wreaking havoc with the church, imprisoning and murdering God's people. Yet Peter and the church, watch this, they led no revolt against him. Come on, everybody. Think with me a minute. Amen. They were being wronged on a level that you and I could only remotely imagine right now. They were being killed, imprisoned, slaughtered, stalked, losing jobs, losing their homes, having all their goods confiscated simply for being a Christian. But watch this, Peter led no revolt. He could have. The whole church looked to Peter. He led no revolt. They put together no marches. Church of Jesus Christ did not put together a Christian march against Nero. Amen. They organized no resistance. They didn't call for any violence. Because Peter had learned from Jesus the way to deal with social ills is to first deal with spiritual ills. Jesus went about everywhere doing good and changed the world. Jesus not one time led a revolt, led a protest, led a march, incited violence of any kind. When one disciple decided to take up violence in his name, and it was Simon Peter, and he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, Jesus picked up the ear and reattached it and healed the man and said to Peter, put away your sword. He that lives by it will die by it. Our Lord was never violent.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, Give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for the continuation of this message entitled Your Separation and Your Submission in this series called Comfort for the Suffering. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.